Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. As we start this Easter celebration, I want to start where Easter started. You see, Good Friday happened, and we read that and all the things that happened to Jesus and what he went through. And then after that, he was put in a tomb and the tomb was sealed shut. And it remained that way for Saturday. And I said at the beginning of the week, and even on Good Friday, I said, enter into this space, right? It's time to reflect and remember. And if you were there at this occasion, you experienced a lot of different emotions. And if you enter into that space by reading the Good Friday text in the Gospels, You enter into this idea that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was who they were waiting for. Jesus had a lot of things in their agenda for him. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of Luke records the story of the road to Emmaus. And in that story, the words, "But we had hoped..." And they had hopes and plans and dreams, and that Jesus was going to overtake everything. And then they just watched that man that they thought was going to be the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Messiah, that was going to fulfill all the things in the Scriptures, was now crucified and killed and buried. And back then, even though Jesus had proven to them that he had power over death when he raised Lazarus from the grave, he was still dead to them, and to them, death was still permanent. And when you enter into that, and then Saturday comes, and you wake up the next day, and you hope that it was just a dream, right? That this Messiah, this Savior of the world, is not really dead, that it was just all a bad dream. I don't know about you, but that's the way I kind of enter into this space. When you have this idea of what somebody's going to do, right? And you enter into that space, and then they don't live up to your expectations, right? It's hard to kind of realize what's going on. And in this space, Jesus didn't live up to the people's expectations. But see, the thing is that he wasn't looking to be their human king. He wasn't looking to rule them in that way. He wasn't looking to overthrow any government or anything like that. That's not what Jesus was talking about. That's not what the Scriptures were prophesying about. He was meant to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the man with the name above all names, right? That is what Jesus was going to be. And that's what we're looking at today. If you have a copy of the Scriptures handy, whether they're paper or electronic, go ahead and open it on up. Mark chapter 16. And after we read Mark chapter 16, we're going to dive into our next little section of Philippians 2 as we conclude this Holy Week series called For the Joy. And as we look at this, okay, so I brought up Saturday, and so the people were still trying to figure out what was going on, right? And so it says here, Mark chapter 16, verse 1, it says Saturday evening when the Sabbath had ended. You see, so once again, we got to, they were still, Mark's gospel records early Sunday morning while it was still dark in John's gospel. So that whole dark, of course it was dark. It wasn't sun up yet, right? It's dark, but I just think that was an atmospheric, figurative kind of word while it was still dark. So while it was still confused and while people were still trying to figure out what had really happened. But it says, Saturday evening when the Sabbath had ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. So they plans to do this. And very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. So now they're expecting to go and properly handle Jesus' body. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in the white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Do not be alarmed. Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. And here in this space, it says also that they briefly reported all of this to Peter and his companions. Afterward, Jesus himself sent them out from east to west. So they, she went and they told, and the whole thing is phenomenal to them. Right? It's recorded a couple different times in these gospel accounts, right? That Jesus shocked them, right? In the Gospel of Luke, it says he is risen. He isn't here, just as he said he would, right? And John, Mary actually talks to Jesus. So go read the resurrection accounts in the Gospels. But I wanna say here that this, especially this text in the Gospel of Mark here that we've been looking at, it's Jesus can roll things away, right? Jesus rolled that tomb away. Rolled that stone away. That tomb was open. Because it's we look at our problems, right? When we've been talking about this as we've been going through the book of Philippians. And when I read that, it's they had a problem. Right, they had a conflict. Right, they had a situation, a struggle that they were going to have to face. Who's going to roll the tomb away? Who's going to roll the stone away? They said that stone is large. Who's going to roll it away? And it was also guarded and sealed and all of that. And there was just a lot going on with that. But still, the stone was moved. And when I think about it, when we look at what that means, is Jesus can roll stones away. Jesus can take our situations and our conflicts and our problems and our struggles, and he can roll them away. It's so amazing that wasn't the end of this for Jesus. He had things to do, but he was going to defeat death and hell and the grave, and he was going to rise so he could be the person that he said he was going to be, the person that we needed, a sacrifice for our sins. That is what Jesus did. And as we look at the book of Philippians here, as we continue on in our study of the book of Philippians, this result of this, right? So we looked at on Good Friday, verse 8, where it says where he was obedient to God, even obedient to death on a cross. We pick up in verse 9, if you're there, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, therefore, God elevated him or exalted him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God our Father. And we talked about this glory thing, bringing glory and honor. We talked about that earlier on in our study in the book of Philippians. It's all in our archive. You can go check it out. But this idea of it being exalted or super exalted. Jesus didn't do this to himself, though. Jesus did not crown himself, but God crowned him. He did not elevate himself, but God lifted him there, and he was placed on the throne. This name that he was given is just the name above all other name that's going to shatter the earth. We read about that in Revelation, this name that just got so much power, this name of Jesus that everybody will one day bow down to. It's a person, it's the name above all other names. Jesus is the name in person above anybody else. There's no politician, there's no king, there's no president, there's no whatever else, whatever position, CEO, there's nobody that is more powerful than Jesus. Jesus, this statement here, the name above all other names, is a powerful statement of those who deny the deity of Jesus. There is no name higher than Yahweh, and Jesus has that name. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. The sovereignty of Jesus is also said here when it talks about the name of that every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth. Everything will bow to the name of Jesus, and he will in every tongue. So anything, it's like what Psalm 150 says, everything that has breath will praise the Lord, will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and all of this will be to the glory of God the Father. Not only was Jesus exalted by the Father, but the whole world was brought into submission to him at this moment on Easter. This is what's being done, is everything is being brought to total submission of Jesus. Everything is now under Jesus. And I was thinking about the Great Commission, and that everything has been, everything under heaven and earth, all authority has been given to me. Right? Jesus, the name above all other names. He is superior. He reigns supreme. He is sovereign. Jesus, he did not need to do it. He was already sovereign. But this now, Jesus has the power that no other person has. This is the totality of Jesus' deity and exaltation. This is what it is that Philippians 2, basically 5 through 11, but our 3 through 11 has been talking about. He gave up to come and experience the hardships. He gave it help. So to understand Paul's hardships, he gave it to help them practice real Christian unity in the midst of hard times. So Paul is writing this, and he's using Jesus' example here of what Jesus went through. This picture of Jesus has helped them understand how to assess the ministry of Paul when it seemed weak at the present time. This is the power of Jesus. But I thought about something that I wrote down, and it's this idea of succession, right? The humility leads to elevation or exaltation, or humility leads to exalting, right? However you want to look at it. And we looked at this text where it says, do not be selfish. Do not do anything, but look to each other, right? And look at others above yourself, as we started back on Palm Sunday. And we see Jesus, though he was God, he humbled himself. And he became human so that he could do what we couldn't do. That's vitally important here, because it wasn't Jesus that elevated himself. It was God that elevated him after he was humble and obedient. So the process is the same for us. That Paul is writing here and has been writing, this idea of unity and being in one mind, and all of the stuff that we've looked at over the course of the opening part of this series called I've Got the Joy. You can go check it out. But leading to this point of having the same attitude as Jesus, being humble, not always needing to be right, not always needing to have all of the answers even. I don't know what else to say about that, but Jesus was humble in obedience to God, and he went to the cross. And he was obedient, and he lived the life that he needed to live. That's important to understand as well. And then God elevated him. That is the point. So what happens to us? Well, our being humble and our obedience to Jesus and God, but our obedience to Jesus will eventually lead to our elevation and our exalting. That's what I believe God told me to say. I do. I believe that is the process. Like, we often want the reward without the work. Right? Some of the notes that I read, like, we want the exaltation without the humility. Jesus is calling us to be humble. That's vitally important. He was calling his disciples to be humble when he calls them to love each other and love others. And this is how you will know, this is how they will know that you are my disciples, by how you love each other and how you interact with each other. We've talked about that Paul has put that in this letter in chapter 1 of Philippians. He writes, like, being unified and how you handle your conflicts and how you handle each other, how you handle your conflicts outside of each other and how you handle your conflicts with each other, how you love each other, that your love overflows, right? All of this is pointing to what Jesus did on the cross. His love overflowed for us. He humbled himself, and he didn't have to, is the thing. And we don't have to either. Let's just put that out there. Controversial as it might sound, we don't have to humble ourselves. We don't have to look to other people to be better than us. And we can always just focus on ourselves and that selfish ambition, and that we can just keep looking to our own interests and making sure that we are covered and looking out for number one, right? We can keep doing that. But that's not what Jesus did. If Jesus would have done that, it wouldn't have led to his elevation. It wouldn't have led to his exalting. And now Jesus is one of the most powerful characters, if I can say it that way, of any writing, of any movie, of any book, of anything. Jesus is the most powerful person ever. And when we look at this and when we see this, this is what God is doing. He elevated Jesus because of what he did, and Jesus elevates us because of what we do. We're to follow Jesus, and we're to do our best at following Jesus. Jesus doesn't ask us for perfection. He knows we can't be perfect, because if we could be perfect, we could have saved ourselves. And that's what matters when we look at Jesus. Often people are like, well, he's God, so he knew what was coming. He knew how to handle it. He knew all of these things. Yeah, but that's not the point, right? A human being needed to be the the sacrifice, right, to prove that this could happen. And if you think that Jesus is just God, so he knew everything, so it takes away from what Jesus actually did. Jesus actually was a human. He lived a perfect life that we couldn't live so that we could have life by the power of his name. That is what this is. The power of his name. The power of the name of Jesus. That we can have life. And that we can have it to the full. That's all that Jesus wants for us. But mainly this call to love and this call to be servants even. And this call to put other people ahead of us. And to be looking for our own interests is important. We should look out for ourselves. We should want things for ourselves. And we should want to cash in on our own interests. That's important. That's not what Jesus is saying, that we should just always be about other people and never have some of our dreams fulfilled. But are we fulfilling our dreams sometimes at the expense of other people? Are we constantly looking to be number one? Are we constantly always looking to be in the spotlight? Or are we able to step aside and let someone else take the reins? Let someone else take the position. Let someone else take the role, however you want to put it. So that's what Jesus is calling us to do. And when he stepped aside and he let other people come to him and he looked out for the interests of his, he looked out for his own interest. He went and he prayed and he ate and all of those things. But he knew that his primary goal was the cross, was us. Our key verse that came for the series title, For the Joy, comes out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and let me get there real quick. And in this verse, we see this exact thing, that Jesus, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. How are we humble? How do we have the level of humility and the obedience to Jesus, and so we can be elevated by Jesus one day? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy, or the NIV says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. That is how we do it. It's easier said than done. I can read that. I can say it. But it's so hard. Because sometimes when we're humble, when we do things out of the ordinary, when we love somebody that no one else has loved, or when we sit beside that person at lunch that no one else would sit beside, or when we invite them over, right? All of this is in the Gospels. Jesus invited people over. Jesus had dinner with people, and often the Pharisees would go, how come he's eating with those sinners, with those people? If he is who he says he is, why is he eating with those people? He was humbling himself because of what mattered to him. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. That's what Paul is writing here when he says that Jesus humbled himself, and that we should be humble and we should not be selfish. We should reach out for those people, because that's what the joy of the cross is for Jesus. It is that because he was God, he looked forward and he saw every single one of our faces, but he saw it through the lens of the cross. And even on the cross, when he says, you know, Father, forgive them, he's not talking about the people that he could see through his blood-soaked eyes, and not what he could see, but he's looking farther ahead. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. That is the joy that awaited, not the resurrection. The resurrection was how he stamped it, but the joy was the sacrifice. And it's always baffled me, and I hope I'm doing a good job of saying it, and it may be controversial what I'm saying, but you know what? I don't care. This is how I read the Bible, and this is how I see what Jesus did, that the joy, that for the joy
set before him. He endured the cross. There is nothing joyful about what we've talked about in the last 3 days. There's nothing joyful about what happened on Good Friday. The joy, because he endured the cross. So he's not talking about Easter. The writer of Hebrews isn't referencing Easter yet. He's referencing he endured the cross. And now he's seated. Easter. Now he's elevated. Now he's in power and in control. That is what this series is about, is that the joy is us for Jesus. That when we look, when he looked ahead and he looked out over that crowd before he uttered those final words, "It is finished," he saw each and every one of us, and he was doing it for each and every one of us. That is Easter. That is Good Friday. That is Easter. That is Holy Week. That is why Jesus walked in fulfilling Scripture on Palm Sunday. That is why he was betrayed and arrested and beaten and crucified and put in a tomb and stayed there and then broke out of that tomb so that we could have life by that power of his name. So that we could have eternal life, like John 3:16 says. So that no one will perish but have everlasting life. That was the payment right there. And it is now time for a choice. To experience the joy of Jesus. So that we can have life by the power of his name. John 3:16 tells us that God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son. So that whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 20:31 tells us that we may have life by the power of his name. And I've referenced that a couple times, and we've talked about it over the course of the Holy Week and a little bit in this series in Philippians. But that is it. Right there. Whoever believes. So how do you believe? Romans 10:9-13. We believe by, and I'm actually going to read it today. I've been paraphrasing it for the last couple of times I've used it, but I want to actually read it to you today. And this is it right here. That whoever believes, and it says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 10, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced, Jew or Gentile, or the same in respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call for him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's all you have to do. You have to call on the name of the Lord. You have to declare that Jesus is Lord. You have to declare that God raised him from the dead, which means you have to say that, hey, I need a Savior. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I believe he was the payment for my sin. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. Because it says, whoever believes, John 3:16, whoever believes will not perish. So if that's you today, if that is what you did today, I'm going to read that in the same way that I just did, a shorter version of it. And if you read that with me, if you say that with me, you're in. You've been saved. We make it so complicated. It's not complicated. You don't have to bring all of the things to confess. It's simple as believing and admitting it and declaring it. That is what it is. And then you and God can sort the rest out. You and Jesus can sort the rest out. That's what it is. That we don't have to clean up before we come. That's like getting in the shower. That's like cleaning yourself up before you get in the shower. That's not the way this works. You don't do that. You get in the shower to clean up. We get into Jesus so we can clean up. Come on, somebody. So, here you go.
If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God and openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Because whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you've prayed that with me, if you said that with me, if you've said some form of it, that you basically you could have said, hey, I believe you, Jesus. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were punished for my sins. And I believe that you were buried and that you rose again and that you will give me life by the power of your name. That's it. I encourage you, if you did that, I encourage you that if you're still thinking about it, you can always go back and listen to that again. But I encourage you that if you did do it, get plugged into a church somewhere, keep listening to podcasts, find other podcasts to listen to. This isn't for me, right? Selfish ambition would be like, keep listening to me. Oh no, you can listen, keep listening to me, but I encourage you to find a church to go to. So you can continue your walk with Jesus. I encourage you to get in the gospel. Start with the gospel of John. I encourage you to do that. And happy Easter to all of you. And I hope that you will experience the joy of Jesus. I hope you'll come back as we continue on in our series, I've Got the Joy. A little bit of a note. This coming Wednesday, our episode is entitled Rest Episode. And because we believe it's good to take a rest. And after the power of Easter and just Holy Week and all of that, we at this ministry choose to take a rest. So tune in for that. It's rest episode number 2. Tune into that. It's called Fight Your Battles. And I'm excited for that. It's an archived episode, a couple archived episodes that we're putting together for that. And then we will resume the next Wednesday, April 10th, if you're listening to this, as it happens, with I've Got the Joy as we continue on through Philippians. And so once again, I encourage you, get into the Gospels, start with the Gospel of John. You can start with any gospel you want to, but I often encourage people to start with the Gospel of John. Find other podcasts, find a church if you prayed that prayer, if you've accepted Jesus today. I encourage it. Go and get plugged in somewhere. Help keep your walk with Jesus strong. So without that, I hope to see you this Wednesday for our rest episode. And then next Wednesday as we resume, I've Got the Joy. We'll see you then.